without the blood. And tonight, that's what we celebrate. We celebrate the death of a man who was innocent in the place of those who were not. That's me, and that's you. But worthy is the Lamb. Tonight, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. We'll have one verse, verse 9. The Apostle John, he received visions from the Lord of the days ahead. He received visions about what heaven would look like, about when the end would come, what it looked like. And ultimately, he saw visions of the Lord Jesus sitting on his heavenly throne. And here in this passage, we see a song that was being sung in the spiritual places in the heavens, where it says, "And they sang a new song, saying, Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation." Let's pray. Lord God, we look forward to that day when we will gather around your throne and we will sing along with the multitudes of people whom you have given amazing grace and amazing faith, where we will see the Lamb, truly see the Lamb that you sent that was slain for us. And by his blood, he ransomed many people from every corner of the earth, and every tongue will be singing, "Worthy is the Lamb." We look forward to that day, God. Come, Lord Jesus. We ask it in your name. Amen. The butterfly effect is something that's debated in science. It's the thought that when a butterfly flaps its wings on one side of the earth, that ripple effect, that change of motion of the wind on the other side of the earth can produce tornadoes and hurricanes. I say it's debated because I don't know if that's necessarily true or not, that one small event can change the course of something all the way around the world. But I do know of one event that has done that, where one man gave his life in a very far-off, small place, an agrarian outpost outside of Jerusalem. And by giving his life, it had global implications. It changed the course of history. So the death of one man, Jesus of Nazareth, has changed the course of world history. And by his death, he made it possible for the glory of God to spread to the ends of the earth. One small event with massive implications. While salvation was known primarily to just this one nation for 2,000 years, if we read the Old Testament history, we see where one people knew this God, primarily this one people for 2,000 years, previous to the coming of Jesus. But through Jesus and his death, God catapulted his grace to every nation underneath the sun. When Christ was nailed to a cross like a criminal, he was exactly where he was supposed to be in the plan of God. It was not a mistake. God had his Son exactly where he wanted him so that his glory would spread all over the earth. Because salvation was not supposed to stay in just one place. It was not supposed to be just one nation. Our God is not a tribal deity. He is not just the God of Israel. He is not just the God of the United States of America. He is the God of all the earth. And he desired for his glory to be clearly seen by everyone. We sing a song when we're kids. You know, Jesus loves the little children. Red and yellow, black and white. They're precious in his sight, and they are. Every people underneath the sun will be gathered around his throne in that day. Doesn't matter what they look like, no matter how like they speak, languages will be different. Just as the languages were confused at Babel, one day there will be an understanding of all these nations that gather under the throne of God, speaking different tongues, singing God's praises, glorifying the one who purchased them with his blood. God delights in putting his glory on full display. He does not hide his glory underneath a basket. He wants everyone to see it, not just one people, not just one small group. And he used this one event to make it happen, the death of his son. In the earliest pages of Scripture, God called one man, Abram, to be the father of many nations. And God makes him a promise, and in that promise, he says to him in Genesis chapter 22, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall, hear this, all the nations of the earth be blessed. Abraham was the father of one nation, but God made him a promise that through his offspring, he would be the father of many nations. And it is through the cross of Jesus Christ that Abraham becomes the father of many, many nations through his offspring. And his offspring is Jesus. So even here in the earliest pages of history, God had the cross in mind when he made Abraham this promise. They were all going to be blessed as the gospel as we know it went forth, goes forth, continues to go forth into every place underneath God's bright sun. As people continue to go and bring that light to other people, God's glory continues to spread. The old hymn writers we know as the Psalms, these were the praises that God's people sang to him. This was their hymn book. And in that hymn book, there are many prophecies about the nations praising God. And this is what they say. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Strange, isn't it, that this one nation is singing praises to God whom they only know, but yet they say, let all the peoples praise you, because one day all the peoples would praise God. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is great to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. And it would be. And it continues to spread today. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. This story is still being brought to bear in the pages of history. The land that we live in right now wasn't known to people in the Middle East. The people that would have been living in the area that Jesus was from wouldn't have been known to those people for over 1,000 years. It's said that Niagara Falls wasn't seen by a European until 1604. So it was a long time before the gospel ever came to this land. We are the ends of the earth. We're not the center of the earth. We are the ends. As this land was discovered long after Jesus died. And missionaries, people came carrying this gospel to the tribes that were here already. And somebody brought that gospel to your ears. We celebrate today because we are those peoples that those in the Psalms sang about. We are them. Rejoice. Rejoice, all the ends of the earth. We rejoice today because somebody brought this light to us. Those who were once far off us have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. And people today who have never heard the gospel hear it and believe, and God's glory continues to spread. What an amazing message of salvation, and what an amazing miracle conversion is. Don't ever stop being amazed at this miracle. Don't ever let the gospel get old or tired to you. Because it truly is miraculous that God would wake us from the dead and bring us new life. The day is going to come when all God's people in every part of the world, we're going to gather around the Lamb of God, and they're going to sing, as Revelation 5 says, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Why do they glorify the Lamb? Why do they sit before the Lamb and praise Him? Why do all the nations, every creature in heaven and on earth, sing His praises? Because of this day that we celebrate outside of Jerusalem so many years ago, that shines a light on the beautiful Son of God. And I hope the Son of God is beautiful to you tonight. The obedient Son. He is obedient even to death. Death on a cross, to demonstrate God's love for you. And to bring amazing glory to Himself as the Redeemer of those who had wandered away from Him. By His cross, He brings you home to share the glory of the Father. Each of us at one time was a prodigal, wandering away from God. And then He welcomed us home through the blood of His Son. And we share in His glory forever. So see the cross tonight as glorious. Not just for yourself. Not just for this community or for this city. But see the cross as glorious for all the ends of the earth. If there is no death by the Lamb, there is no forgiveness of sins. If there's no death by the Lamb, there is no forgiveness of sins. If there is no forgiveness of sins, there are no people who can enter into God's eternal, holy presence. No forgiveness of sins, there's no hope, there's no celebration. There's no song being sung here in Revelation. There's no glory being spread. If there is no death, if there is no forgiveness of sins, there are no celebrations, there's no lasting gladness, there's no spreading to the ends of the earth with the glory of God. And you and I aren't coming into God's presence without somebody else making it possible. Now, we might be able to wash ourselves on the outside, right? We might be able to wash ourselves on the outside, but we can't wash the inside. We can't get soap and water and make the inside clean. We can't make the heart clean. There is only one way that that is possible, and that is through the blood that cleanses us that we celebrate tonight. We need someone else to remove our sin from us and to cast it away. And God did this when He sent His Son, when He sent the Lamb who would give His life in our place. He gave His blood to satisfy the wrath of God, but also to cover the sins of the people. No animal blood was going to do this. There was no other blood that could have been shed that would have brought salvation for you and for me. Jesus was on a rescue mission that nobody else could do. He came to rescue each and every one of us from ourselves, from sin, from our flesh, from Satan, from death, from the world. God purchased you with the blood of His Son. The weight of the world was on Jesus as He was pierced, as He was torn. But He was driven by the joy of knowing that one day you were going to be His. And so even as He went to that cross to have all the excruciating pain and all the suffering, He looked past the cross at the joy of having you as His treasure, as His possession forever. I mean, what love is that? What love is that, that someone would lay down their life for us? Even while we were yet sinners. And when Paul wrote that in Romans chapter 5, he was saying that even when we were at our worst, it wasn't as if the Son of God went to the cross saving a wonderful people. He went to the cross to save a people who were in rebellion against Him. But His love surpassed our rebellion. His grace went beyond our sins. So on the one hand, this was the darkest day in human history, right? And so this is kind of a somber occasion that we gather here today, and we see a video like that, we see blood, and we're reminded of what Jesus did for us. So it's a somber occasion. But on the other hand, this was the most glorious day that there has ever been in history. Because it was on this day that Jesus brought you and He brought me near to God by His blood, when He made Himself a sacrifice. And so our text says that He ransomed you. He ransomed people from every corner of the world by His blood. And that's why we call today Good Friday. because it is a good day for you, and it's a good day for me. When it looked like all hope was lost, hope was being born on a cross. When it looked like Satan was going to have the victory, he was sealing his ultimate defeat. It's amazing how God can bring life out of death. When he can bring hope, it seems like, out of nothing. That's what God specializes in. Just when Satan thought that he had gained the victory, God was using what he thought was victory to be his demise. What a wise and powerful God we have. What an amazing Savior that we have. This was a symbol of defeat, the cross was. It was a symbol of sadness. But for us, it becomes a beacon of victory. I mean, how many of you all tonight are wearing crosses around your neck, or you're having a cross somewhere on your garments? I mean, that's amazing, isn't it, that we would place something like that on our clothing? But it's because that to us is a symbol of victory. It's a symbol that God truly has won. God is making everything new. He's recreating new hearts, new people, by the power of this cross, and he will not be defeated. What he made good in the beginning is going to be good in the end. And he starts with just a little piece of ground on the inside. He starts with that little piece of ground that is your heart, and he reclaims it for himself through his Spirit. And one day, he is going to reclaim your body when he gives you a glorified body. And then on another day, he's going to reclaim all the heavens and the earth, and everything is going to be made new. But right now, he starts with you on the inside when he gives you his Spirit. And he does this when you believe in the cross, the powerful message of the cross of his Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So that you here tonight in this place, gathered with God's people, this is a little slice of heaven. This is a little slice of heaven. As we sing God's praises, we're just seeing a small picture, just a little bit of what heaven is going to be like. As you gather with these people and you gather with many other people singing the praises of God, unhindered. Unhindered. Have you ever walked into a place of worship just feeling like you are hindered? That sin is holding you back? Something's holding you back from truly worshiping your God? The day will come, my friends, when you will not be hindered anymore. You will fully worship God as you were created to do. So this is just a little slice of heaven. When you gather around with every other nation and every other tribe around God's throne, we will fully worship Him unhindered, unimpeded, and our voices will sing fully the praises of our God. There's people today who gather in communist China or totalitarian or under the dark curtain of North Korea, and they, like us, though in another language, they say, "Worthy. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." There's hope for the world. There's hope here in Buffalo because Jesus has people here that he's bought. Some of them have already come to know Him, and there's some who still have yet to come to know Him. But it's our mission to continue to spread the glory of God into this community, up and down these streets. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said, as they went about spreading the gospel, there was an aroma of death for those who were perishing, but there was an aroma of life to those who were being saved. I hope that in the years ahead, as we, as God's people, go out into these streets and into these neighborhoods and into these parks, what smells a lot like death right now will begin to smell a whole lot more like life. As this glorious cross, the message of our Savior, goes out into these neighborhoods and reaches these people, that's our mission. That's what Jesus has done on His cross. He has purchased people here. And we have to believe that and trust that God will send us out to find these sheep that have strayed from their shepherd. If you've ever been in the woods when the sun begins to rise, you know how dark it is. You know how dark it is in the woods. As the sun begins to come up, all the little crevices behind the trees, it's all pitch black dark. But as that sun begins to come up, it's like that light slowly begins to reclaim territory. And wherever the light goes, the darkness cannot hold it back. And so it is with the gospel. Wherever the gospel goes, the light of the Son of God goes. And wherever His light goes, the darkness cannot withstand it. And that's what He has done in His cross. He has made it possible for the ends of the earth to sing His praises. This is a glorious day, celebrating our Savior. What must have appeared to the angels to be the darkest day in the story that God had written up to that point, it turned out to be the first flap of those butterfly wings that would shake the world with this amazing light. When a Jewish man, dying like a criminal for you, and he was dying like a criminal for all of his people. And so celebrate tonight. Celebrate Good Friday. There's one who is worthy to open the scrolls, the unfolding pages of the future. Your hope is secure, my hope is secure, and so is the world's by the blood of the Lamb. Let's pray. Lord God, we celebrate You tonight. We praise You for this glorious message that You've given us. We praise You, God, for the blood that was shed on our behalf. What looked like the darkest hour, and it was the darkest hour, turned out to be a glorious time for us. Because Jesus was doing His best work then, as He gave His life as a ransom for us. So tonight we praise You, God. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.